Broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Imperial Hotel in Durham, North Carolina, it's the North Carolina Technology Association's State of Technology Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Welcome back to Enseda's State of Technology live radio broadcast. I'm Ann Ravel Petcher, your host, and I'm here with Mike. Michael Lauer. Say hey, Mike.
Hey, I can't wait to get in this next interview. We got a really good guest here.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. We're talking about Internet
nothing.
Of Things,
you know,
and some connectivity.
You get titles like, you know, CTO of IBM.
Some big initials there.
Yeah, they are some, you know, carry a little bit of weight. Jerry Cuomo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
It's really great to have you
Thank
here.
You.
Jerry's a fellow at IBM. And, you know, I'm really excited to talk about the IBM of today. That's kind of where I want to focus this, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Know, IBM has, you know, the history. People have, across the world, different relationships with IBM.
Sure.
And some people are stuck in the blue and white stripe days. Some people are still sort of in Florida. What is IBM today? What should it mean to people?
I actually think it's best embodied by a couple things. First of all, our leader. You know, you tell me who you go with, and I'll tell you who you are. I think my grandmother used to say.
Yeah.
And our leader, Ginni Rometty, she has done some amazing things in IBM. And one of the things that she did is she kind of flipped things around. And it may sound simple, maybe even trivial, but you know, she's all about the user first, putting the user front and center.
What a concept.
And it's not about the technology, it's about
right.
the user's perception. So she loves to talk about, you know, we've been spending time, you know, designing vases in IBM,
sure.
but not allowing people to enjoy flowers in their home. Right.
Right. Well, I think that big companies maybe don't do that as much. They focus on, you know, the trappings and stuff like that. And I think that, you know, with startups, they kind of understand that they have to deal with the users. But when a big company acts like a startup, it's dangerous. And I definitely think that this is not your grandfather's IBM anymore.
Yeah. So things you'll hear about in the hallway of IBM that you really didn't hear about even like a year ago
right.
is, you know, design led. You know, one of the, and Ginni is all about design. Ginni is all about lean and agile. And you think about IBM, you know,
yeah,
we've been
right.
referred to as an elephant
those,
before.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, you know, those are not the terms that most people think of.
And when you think of design-led, you know, one of the things that IBM has had way back in the early days with Thomas J. Watson Jr. is an eye for design. You know, very proud and winning awards for the, you know, how easy the early computers were and how beautiful they were to look at. And, you know, everything from the way we designed our buildings in IBM, mm-hmm. they're all works of art. You know, if you go to
sure.
Armonk and or Almaden, you know, all of these buildings stand for something. And, you know, Steve Jobs has recently made it cool again to think
right.
about design first. And design led is really about knowing your end user, knowing who you're dealing with. So, you know, that's one of the main revolutions now in IBM.
Tell us about the end user, because it seems like really IBM touches everybody.
Yeah, so
that's a big target to hit.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one of the things when you think about interacting with the end user, first of all, there's so many means now. You know, we all carry phones in our back pocket.
Right.
And, you know, now you can actually interact with an end user at the moment of you know, decision, right, whatever that is, and help really make the difference in a person's life. And, you know, one of the things when you think about interacting with an end user, you tend to think about a phone, but, you know, we've been thinking well beyond phones and, you know, it's about interacting with them through the Internet of Everything. Their cars, their homes.
Yeah, everything's connected now.
Their hospital beds, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Everything is connected. So with the focus on end user, with the focus on mobile and engaging that user through Internet of Things kind of leads into an interesting world of data.
Yeah, so speak to how that relates to your job.
So, you know, one of the things that I help do in IBM is, you know, coordinate and motivate and kind of inspire from a vision perspective some of our mobile-first initiatives, helping to lead our Internet of Things initiative.
What are those initiatives? Talk about those a little.
So, mobile first is a platform for building enterprise mobile applications that put the user at the center and allow you to easily but robustly, you know, build an application that engages an end user. And, you know, one of the things that I talked about earlier today is we've all used apps recently. You know, maybe it's that airline check-in application.
Right.
Or God forbid you have an accident and you're snapping photos at the scene, you know, as help is automatically on its way. These are applications where I believe mobile is changing everyday life. And, you know, when you're looking at an application that's changing everyday life, and one of the things that our mobile first platform allows you to build is not just what's at the glass. So we say mobile first, but not mobile only, right? So it's what's happening behind the scenes. It's about analytics. Right, it's about understanding
what it means.
Yeah, what the person is doing. It's about context, understanding where your user is,
right,
what they're doing, and you know, I don't mean to conjure up thoughts of Big Brother. You know, a lot of this is about engaging the end user in a way that they want to opt in. You know,
because
they see value in what you're doing.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
Well, so you're getting into a predictive.
Yeah,
stuff
and it's everything from, you know, on one end of the spectrum, it's predictive. Maybe even further out, you've heard of Watson. It's
it's
about being cognitive.
Yeah.
But then there's even a more, I would say, rudimentary level. You know, recently one of my bosses told me that my performance evaluation, which my bonus is attached to. Is going to be proportional to a particular customer's app store rating. So, you know,
that's cool,
you know,
though.
It's kind of cool, but I love it when your performance, you know, kind of goals are vague, because now you can interpret them. But that wasn't vague at all, right? That was a very direct
that's
thing.
Amazing.
And, you know, so that's a great example of how the world has changed, how putting the end user at the middle, you know, how mobile first is
right.
key. And at one level, looking at sentiment analysis, looking at how users are using your applications, how is it trending, you know, what was your rating last month versus this month, what do they like about your application, what's getting in the way, what's not working. Things are very tangible now.
Right. I was just about to ask, so when you put the user first, obviously you're going to have to pivot a lot, right? Because things are going to change. You're going to learn, okay, well, that didn't work so well. We're going to change maybe the way we do this about a certain app. Maybe they're using it differently. So how easy is that? I mean, people say big wheels turn slowly. At IBM, how do you kind of account for that?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, you know, one of the titles I hold is CTO, and one of the things that I lived my life on, and I say it in the past, although I can't help but to have hunches. So I've lived my life by the hunch.
Well, you got to go with that.
Yeah, you know, I got this feeling. And feelings these days are important, but, you know, to be frank, everyone has one.
Watson doesn't have a feeling.
But what you need is to back your feeling, to back your hunch, you need data.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
And, you know, pivoting on a hunch is one thing. But pivoting with the data behind it
is a whole thing.
You know, I went to a very progressive company and was chatting, and they said they didn't have CTOs. They basically had they were operating as a lean startup, right? They had people who had good thoughts. You know, they have a hypothesis, they have tests to test that hypothesis, and then they have data to either back it or not. And that's the way they run their operation. And regardless of how big you are. Boy, the data just quiets everything down, you know? So starting meetings, you know, now...
It's a focusing lens, yeah.
When we start a meeting now, we start the meetings with data. And you know, it's... You can debate all you want on your hunch. That's subjective. But
yeah, exactly.
The data, you know, there's still areas to debate. But in IBM, we are becoming more data-driven, and we have become more data-driven. And this gives us an opportunity to do things quicker and focus on things that matter.
Well, we reach so many different audiences with the work that you do at IBM. I was recently at a North Carolina Biotechnology Association event where they had the Watson guys there, and they were talking about how Watson is impacting treatment of cancer.
Yeah. So you know, speaking about data, right? So one of the cool things that recently happened with Watson was one of our VPs asked Watson, who was the first black president? And, you know, Watson quickly responded with Bill Clinton.
Huh.
And it was interesting because one of the things that you can do with Watson is look at the pedigree, you know, look at the lineage of the answer. And you know, there, you know, like there was like a 80% certainty that, that Bill Clinton was the right answer, and like 40% or, you know, even less certainty that, that Obama was the right answer. But when you looked at the lineage of the answer, you saw that several of the caucuses back in the, you know, 90s actually deemed Bill Clinton as the first black American president for his support, et cetera.
Sure.
And when you listen, when you kind of go through that kind of cognitive reasoning where people, once they started looking at the reason of why the answer was so, at least at that level of certainty, they started thinking, did I even ask the right question? Maybe the question wasn't clear enough.
Yeah.
Now translate
that's important, though. Translate
that to cancer research, right?
Right.
So now you are a physician, you know, in Durham, North Carolina, and you're busy, right? You're working 24/7 around the clock. And, you know, a patient comes in with symptoms and you say, you know, we know what you have. The answer is Obama, right? It's obvious that the answer to that question is Obama.
Right.
But what you don't realize is this person also has diabetes. And that out in some place in Europe, new research shows that you don't treat a person with lymphoma who also has diabetes this way. You treat them the Clinton way, right? So
Gotcha. Did
you even ask the right question? And that's the cool part about being data-driven,
yeah.
Right? And using this. So Watson is turning heads. And I think it's a great example of the kind of user-centered...
The new IBM.
The new IBM.
Yeah.
Really.
It's so interesting because I keep wondering how what you're doing at IBM is going to impact the way we learn to think, the way our kids think. Are they going to learn to ask better questions?
Yeah. No, I believe, I think the example I just gave really not only makes you think about the answer, but the question.
Well, it also brings the gravity of the situation in, right? Because, I mean, the applications for that kind of thinking obviously can have pretty extreme consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that when you start combining, you know, user-centered design and even things like Internet of Things into the story, it really starts to get interesting. You know, being able to not, you know, basically have Watson sitting next to you in the car.
I know.
Right? You know, as you go ahead, we think of the dramatic, you know, around, you know, medicine and regimens, but also there's the, you know, how should I drive home tonight?
Right.
You know, why am I in traffic right now?
Everyday decisions.
You know, all everyday decisions, you know, how cognitive reasoning could start to play a game. And, you know, I don't think we think that this is... I love to think of Watson as an assistant, you know, to help, you know, and not the living thinking being, but an assistant. So that's kind of what's happening. You know, the convergence of being user centered, data driven, you know, utilizing analytics from, I would say, a rudimentary scale, looking at sentiments all the way out to a cognitive scale of you know, not just answering questions, but helping people reason about the questions that they asked.
You know, what you're doing is obviously not just dealing with issues like treating cancer patients, but you get to, because of the Internet of Things, you really get to have a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Let's pivot this conversation and talk a little bit about how you're having fun with this.
So at our Impact conference in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, on stage, I launched a business. And the business... was really taking off, trying to capitalize in some way on the wearable craze. So, you know, we all have Fuel Bands and
yes,
Fitbits and all that kind of stuff. So I introduced the first of a line of Jerry Cuomo wearables called the Mood Tie. Like, you know, the Mood
Ring. Like the Mood Ring, right.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun to introduce that. And really the idea behind that, in fact, the Mood Tie actually...
Where is it? It's not here today.
So I'll talk about how we failed fast and pivoted from that Muay Thai after it burnt my side. But anyway, the Muay Thai basically takes using a Zephyr sensor was constantly taking my blood pressure and posting it to a Twitter feed hash Jerry Cuomo Thai, and basically my mood was a function of my heart rate plus what people were saying about me at the moment. And then it would reflect back and send a signal to my tie to set a color reflecting, you know, reflecting my mood based on how I was feeling and how people were feeling about me. But one of the things that I actually was able to show on stage was how we can utilize technologies like wearables to drive better customer understanding and better customer loyalty by doing things like, running contests, doing things like your healthcare program, incenting people to get rebates, So on stage, I built a mobile app called Wear to Rewards, which allowed you to convert things like your tie or your Fitbit into customer loyalty rewards.
Oh, very cool.
Which drove, ultimately revenue back for companies. So that's just one example. We also were doing things where we were deducing with the connected vehicle program that we're involved with at IBM, working with companies, popular car companies around the world, that if so many cars turn their windshield wipers on within a given area, that there's either an amazing population of mosquitoes in that area, or it's most likely it's raining. So we can start deducing things like that. And then, other things like, looking at helping epilepsy patients as they're driving to kind of anticipate seizures and help them get to the side of the road and manage. Look at the head of the the wave, and start saying, okay, it's probably a good time to pull over now. And with some of the assisted driving capabilities you're seeing in some of the cars coming out, to start actually helping them pull over to the side of the road. So, everything from the thought-provoking mood tie to, some real things that we're starting to do around connected vehicle. So the Internet of Things is real, and it's
going to happen. Well, yeah,
absolutely.
You have a fun job, Jerry.
Yeah, it is
cool.
I
mean, folks at home can't see it. I mean, he, the whole time, smiling ear to ear. I mean, he loves it. It comes across. I mean, it's a cool thing.
They pay me to do this.
Which doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Very cool. Well, we're kind of running out of time here. We got to get to our next guest, but we have had so much fun. We're going to have to do this again.
Same here.
Just great fun.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, take care.
Until next time, see you in a few minutes. We'll